From WUOT News, this is The Method, a series exploring the intersection of science and society. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. In a few moments, we'll mark the silver anniversary of the Oak Ridge Environmental Peace Alliance. But first, a story about change in the air. Since its birth in 1933, the Tennessee Valley Authority has never been short of critics. Many blame the historically bad air in the Tennessee Valley on the arrogance of TVA management and the agency's dirty, inefficient, coal-fired power plants. But in the last few years, the TVA has begun retiring some of its older plants, refurbishing others, and starting to embrace different sources of fuel for the electricity it produces. WUOT's Matt Schaefer-Powell reports some of the utility's critics are now beginning to take notice.
For the past 30 years, environmentalist Stephen Smith has been a thorn in the TVA's side. As executive director of the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy, he's responsible for holding utilities accountable for the air we breathe, and he's never been one to mince words. But the TVA's recent move away from coal as its prime source of power generation has Smith describing the utility using words like extraordinary and historic.
The fact that we're moving in this direction, the fact that TVA is retiring coal plants, the fact that I can get up and from my home in West Knoxville and see the Smoky Mountains more days in 2014 than I could in 2004 and much more than I could in 1994, that makes me happy.
Smith believes the wheels of change really began rolling after the 2008 coal ash spill at the TVA's Kingston coal plant. And he says new President Bill Johnson continues to move the agency toward an energy portfolio that includes less reliance on coal and more on sources like wind and solar.
The exciting part where we do a lot of our work is TVA is open to the idea of 20% of its portfolio being met by energy efficiency and renewable energy, which is a dramatic jump from where they've been historically.
But Smith says economics has a lot to do with the changes. Jonathan Laventius of the Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign agrees. He says the TVA has begun to realize coal is simply not very cost effective.
I think that senior management at TVA under Bill Johnson's leadership and his management team recognizes that the energy paradigm in the United States is shifting. And they're instead of playing catch up, they're trying to lead that change.
One of the members of that senior management team is Joe Hoagland, the man who oversees the TVA's portfolio. And he says it has to be about economics because that's what's important to the TVA's customers.
They've been very clear that they want high reliable power and they want cost-effective power. So when we sit down and we look at making a decision for, you know, how are we going to continue to produce power effectively into the future, those are the first two things we look at.
At the same time, Hoagland says businesses are demanding greener options, and that's moving the utility to embrace renewables more aggressively. But is it a culture change?
Well, I'm not sure you can change culture, but I think the behaviors, the things that we focus on and how we conduct ourselves, yeah, I think we're listening more to our customers, we're listening more to our stakeholders, we're trying to understand their needs better and be more responsive directly to those needs.
Environmentalists like Stephen Smith and Jonathan Laventius aren't big fans of nuclear or natural gas power. But Laventius says the direction taken by the TVA in recent years shows the utility is now open to new ideas.
If TVA continues to get to a place of understanding that it has to be part of this new energy paradigm, that it can scale up energy efficiency, wind and solar power, that it won't just be a new energy utility, it will be the energy utility of the future.
TVA officials say they still see coal as an important part of their future, just not as big a part. For The Method, I'm Matt Schaefer-Powell, WUOT News.
Next week, the Oak Ridge Environmental Peace Alliance will celebrate its 25th anniversary. Ralph Hutchison has been with the group since its first year, and he recently spoke with WUOT's Chrissy Kuiper.
So we set out to be focused on the Department of Energy's facilities in Oak Ridge. And the initial precipitating event was a demonstration against nuclear weapons production at Y-12. in 1988 that included the first ever civil disobedience arrests there. And that set the tone for AREPA's commitment to nonviolence and to what we described as using every tool in the toolbox for social change. Shortly after we were founded, there was an announcement that they weren't making nuclear weapons components in Oak Ridge anymore. And our focus had already begun to look at the environmental stuff that had happened, the legacy of contamination for 50-some years. And it really was not documented in any way that was easily understandable by the general public. We spent a summer, had got a couple of interns from Vanderbilt, spent a summer doing research, interviews, tours of the site, and put together a citizen's guide to Oak Ridge. And in the process, we got to meet a lot of the people who were doing the environmental cleanup work in Oak Ridge. Probably for the next 6 or 7 years, our focus was heavily on the environmental stuff and not very much on the peace stuff at all. We still were concerned about special nuclear materials and that highly enriched uranium was being handled safely and things like that. And it wasn't until 1986, I think, that in the Knoxville News Sentinel, there was an article that said actually they were continuing to build nuclear weapons in Oak Ridge. They had never stopped. What they had done was shifted their budget line item from new nuclear weapons to refurbishing old nuclear weapons. And that precipitated a change for us of focus fairly quickly back to the nuclear weapons work.
Does the group still sort of keep an eye out on the rest of the environmental cleanup and issues that are going
on? We do
keep
an eye on it. We don't engage in it very often, although periodically I would, and a number of other people would go to meetings and speak at public hearings or address an issue in some way. In the mid-1990s, maybe it was even in the early part of the 2000s, we worked to establish a site-specific advisory board in Oak Ridge, which is a citizens group that actually gets some funding to do oversight, environmental oversight, and it's made up largely of people who live in that community. And that seemed to us to be a responsible way to bring citizens to the table. I mean, we felt like we had scratched and clawed to get to the table and be taken seriously. And so bringing more people to the table in an empowered way, they're actually a federal advisory committee. When they make a recommendation, the government has an obligation to respond to it. You know, they don't have to agree with it, but they have to respond in some way. We saw that as a step forward. There is more space, I think, in the Oak Ridge community for people to talk about environmental and health issues than there is for people to talk about weapons production. You know, there's a silence about the bomb. That's a vacuum that we sort of still continue to fill.
That was Ralph Hutchison of the Oak Ridge Environmental Peace Alliance speaking with WUOT's Chrissy Kuiper. IAM's Nature Center will hold a 25th anniversary celebration for the Oak Ridge Environmental Peace Alliance next Friday evening. Well, that's it for this edition of The Method. You can listen to any of our past installments at WUOT.org. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth.